We're going to be in the book of Joshua. Let me tell you about where we're going, where we've been and where we're going. Last couple of weeks/month, as we concluded 2018, our sermon series was The Great Gift Giver, being God, the God of the Bible, the only one that deserves glory. Our base passage was out of Isaiah chapter 42, and we learned a lot. We learned that God was our authority, that God is the life giver, the creator, our protector. Christmas Eve, as Bill was alluding to and talking about, that that God's given us the gift of his light, his son, and we need to go be a beacon and a representative and ambassador of Jesus Christ. And then Pastor Andrew taught about spiritual sight, and we studied the gift of our freedom in Christ. And we concluded our Christmas and holiday sermon series last week with Pastor Roberto. And if you were here last week, it was such a blessing to be here, as it was his first sermon in English. And he did a fantastic job. And it was a clear proclamation and message of the gospel. And so we praise God for using him in that way. And then the final two verses of our passage will help us transition into our New Year sermon series. And so Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Now listen to this in verse 9, and this is what sets us up for the new year. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In other words, God has moved in our past. As you think about your personal walk with God and your personal story and the story of your family and the story of this church, God has moved. You think about the highs and you think about the lows. You think about the mountaintops and you think about the lowest of valleys. God was with you. God was faithful. His character was revealed in the highs and lows or anywhere in between. And if he's moved in our past, he's also ready to move again in our future. If he's shown up before, which he has, he'll do it again. And so when we look back and remember the times of his move, that will propel us and launch us into what he has for us also in the future. And so we're calling our sermon series for the new year, Refresh. At all our campuses, Refresh. In other words, reloading to move forward with God. When you think about when your computer stalls, you've got your laptop out, and you've got to hit the refresh button. You've got to hit the refresh button so that your computer catches up with you. You make your computer current again because it's stuck in the past. Once you hit that refresh button, your computer now is brought up to speed. It's made current. And you can then move forward with whatever work you're doing on your computer. And that's our prayer as we begin 2019, that we hit the refresh button, the spiritual refresh button. So although our life might have been stalled this past year, or maybe there was some bumps and bruises, we can be brought current with the things of God and where he wants us. We can move forward with God's work, not be stuck and stalled in the past. When we remember God's move in our lives, as you remember some of the moments, we were talking about this before the service, small groups at 9:30 for every age. And in my particular class, we were looking and talking about the past and where God has clearly shown up. You can think about, I was telling them, I can remember moments in middle school. I can remember moments in high school. These were some of the lowest moments of my life as a teenager. I'm a lot older now. But I still will say through all of my life experiences that there were some of the most challenging times were still during that time. Maybe you could say the same thing, or maybe you could say, you know what, last year or the last couple of years, that wins the award for the hardest time that I've ever had to go through. When we think about those times when God showed up, are we not propelled and encouraged to move forward with the things of him? How can we not be moved by him when we remember how he showed up clearly, undeniably him? When we remember God's move in our lives, how are we not encouraged to move forward into the future that he has for us? But sometimes our world just moves a little too quick. We're always on to the next thing. In church world we are, we're always on to the next thing, the next Sunday, the next event. A lot of times at work and just our culture is we're just the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And we don't carve out time to remember and to ponder and to reflect and to respond to the great movements of God in our life. We just sort of move past it. When we move past it, we miss out. We miss out. And so it seems that weekly my wife and I have been talking about God's faithfulness. And that I said this last week that he's shown up in our life enough. If he never shows up again, we will always proclaim that he's a faithful God. He has shown up more than enough. That if he hasn't shown up, if he doesn't show up again, we're still proclaiming that God is real. He is active. He is living. And he is faithful. And he's more than enough. And so today I want us to think about the times when God clearly has shown up in our lives. Think about those times. I want you to think about the times personally in your own life. I want you to think about in the life of your family. Now, it can be the great times, but also can be the very difficult times. But think about the times where God has shown up. And I want you to think about even at UBC as a church this past year in 2018. Where have we seen God clearly show up where it's undeniably him? I want to pause just for a minute or two. And if we can, guys, do we have this song? Is it ready? There's a song by Jeremy Camp. Some of you have heard of him. Some of you maybe have not heard of him. But I want us just to listen audibly. Again, I don't want to rush through, but I want to pause for just a minute or two if we can. And I want you to reflect on God's clear move. I would even challenge you to begin to write it down, jot it down in your cell phone or write it down in your sermon notes somewhere. When you think about moments in your life, those bigger moments, or think about this past year, the highs and lows. Where did God show up during this song? And also in the life of our church and in your family. I want to challenge you to begin jotting some of that down during this song. This song lyrics talks about that God knows. He knows everything. He knows who we are. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. And he's right there with us during the highs and during the low moments this past year. Mike, if we could, let's play it and let's just pause and let's reflect a little bit on God's move in our lives. Think, pray, record, and remember the move of God. Feel free to close your eyes. Think back to this time last year, January, February, March. Think about Easter and Mother's Day before the summer. Think about what took place in the summertime before the school year began again. What kind of things happened? How did God show up in your life, in our church, and with your family? Think about the beginning of the school year. Here at the church, we had a harvest festival around the time of Halloween. Leading up to Thanksgiving. Think about the time of Christmas and the holidays. How did God show up? And so let's go ahead and fade this out, guys. As we journey with God, we know it. Even if we reflect back, just spend a minute or two on this past year alone, that it probably contained hurdles and speed bumps and really, if you think about it, maybe even some walls. And this is all part of the journey. It's especially during these times that we take the time to remember when he's proven faithful in the past. That'll help us get past that speed bump. It'll help us jump over the hurdle or maybe, and sometimes, bust through some walls. Take time to remember. I think of Psalm chapter 42 and 43, where the psalmist experienced a time where his God was being questioned. He was going through a hurdle. He was going over a speed bump, maybe even a wall. And he says in verse 4, Psalm chapter 42, he pauses when people question and saying, where is your God in this? Where is your God in that? Is your God even around? And he takes time in verse 4 of chapter 42 to say, these things I remember. He took time to remember and reflect where God clearly showed up. And then in verse 5, he says, you know what? I'm going to put my hope in God. Why? Because he's shown you that you can put your hope in God in the past, therefore you can do it in the present and also in the future. The latter part of verse 5 says, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God, no matter the circumstance I find myself in, no matter the speed bump, no matter the hurdle, no matter the wall that I'm facing. It said that you're either coming out of a tough time, you're in a tough time, or tough time is in the near future. And so that's just the reality of the fallen world that we live in. But what we do know is God is right there with us in the middle of it all, and he's going to show up in a way that's going to cause you to remember so that you can keep moving forward with the things of him. Now, when I was making my list this morning personally, I was thinking about my wife and thinking about each of our kids, and our little Daisy Mae was saved this past year and baptized, and my daughters were baptized right here, I think the Easter before that. I think about my son. I think about how our marriage has grown through the ups and through the downs, and thinking about our professional world and the teaching and preaching and her teaching, and thinking about safety and financial provision, and just thinking through all that. I'm really trying to create a detailed list and saying, God, yep, that was you. You showed up right there, and then you showed up there, and there, and there, and there. And we've talked about it as a family. We've reflected on it, and we remember, and we hold on to it. It's a marker in our life that we can remember to help us keep going. And then I made a list of just a short list as I was thinking about how he clearly showed up in our church. And we've had babies born. We've had relationships rebuilt. We had 190 people attend our Easter service last year, a mission trip to Cuba, as Ada talked about. We've seen healing. We've seen literal provision from God. We had 160 in attendance this past fall for a month straight. At our Christmas special just a couple of weeks ago, there was 180 here. It almost matched our Easter number from last year. It makes me think, what in the world do we need to do, or what's going to happen for Easter this year? We witnessed and were part of the birth and launch of a new campus, a UCF church called University Church. New families joining, an awesome harvest festival, multiple community giveaways that met many needs, just a bunch of teamwork, some fun fellowship together, over 1,100 blankets collected. A personal missionary from UBC sent to the panhandle with some of these blankets and with MacGyver-type skill to go and take care of needs. And Josh visited twice in the panhandle, and we know that now some of our work has spread into Georgia panhandles, so North Florida, South Florida, and Central Florida. And so you think about these things, you go, whoa, God, thank you for the faithfulness of your people, and also thank you for your faithfulness, because when God does his part and when we, in obedience and response, do our part, when they meet in the middle, we're talking about miraculous impact. We're talking about making a difference. We're talking about shaping and igniting our culture for the things of God. And so I can't help but think, as we just take a couple of minutes to remember what in the world God's about to do this year. And I pray that next year, as we remember 2019, as we enter 2020, that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? 2020, may we be saying the same thing. And in 2021 and beyond, in 2030, in 2050, may we look back and reflect on his move so that we're propelled forward into the things of God. And so we're going to study his move, not just the time of movement, but what led up to his movement. What was our responsibility in that process? And what's our responsibility after he moves? And so what we're doing, at least on these two campuses here, and Andrew to an extent, because he has such a new church, but we're looking back at this year. We're looking at our sermons. We're looking at things discussed. We're looking at things in small group Bible study. And we're bringing some of those highlights back up over a couple of weeks, again with the notion of refreshing. Let's just pause. Let's refresh so we can catch up with the things of God and all that he has for us this year. I think we can say with confidence that if we're going to try to answer God's call this year, it's going to be greater than us. We're going to have to rely on his strength and his spirit power, as well as others, to accomplish that, what he has for us. So as we're setting goals for this year, and I challenge you to set at least three goals per environment that you're in. You think about at work, set three goals. In your marriage, set three goals. Parenting, set three goals. Family, set three goals. A church, set three goals. Activities, set three goals. Things, set some goals. And by the way, we're calling this year the go for it year. So I'm going to challenge you to not just set, this is much more than New Year's resolutions. By the way, one of my goals is to start running again this year. Well, I had my first run yesterday. Let's see, what's the date? January 13th. It took me 12 days to get my first run in. But today I'm going to try to get another one in. But we're talking about more than that. We're talking about some go-for-it goals. How do you know if it's a go-for-it goal? Here it is. When you actually repeat it, or you tell someone about it, or you write it down, when you literally process a goal and you get nervous, you get butterflies, your heart starts beating a little quicker, that may be a go-for-it goal. Here's another indicator if it's a go-for-it goal. You write it down, or you process, or you about to tell somebody, and automatically you go, no way. That may be a go-for-it goal. Automatically you go, that may be next year. No, it may be this year. Or you say, I'll get to it at some point. I may be a little too old. I may be a little too young. That may be a go-for-it goal. A go-for-it goal is going to require faith. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require you to lean on his spirit power. It's going to require you to partner with others to accomplish it. What in the world does God have for us in 2019? How do we prepare for spiritual movement? Now, this is a sermon that we've talked about before years ago here as we were preparing for things back in 2016. And this is another sermon that I was able to kind of reflect upon when we launched University Church, preparing for spiritual moment. I want you to think about the movements that God has in the life of the church, but also personally, and all these goal settings. What does that look like as we break down the spiritual movement of God? So we're going to be in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. We'll move through it pretty quickly, and we've got an awesome testimony to offer a spiritual exclamation point to the end of our talk today. All right, so in our passage today, we have a wow moment for sure. The crossing of the Jordan River, we have a move of God, and we have that God allows the Israelites to cross through the Jordan River on dry land. So the Jordan River, literally, the flow stops. And so we all want to be a part of a move of God like this, right? We want to be part of a grand move of God. I got to tell you, God moves in big ways, but he also moves in small ways. And sometimes the small ways are really the big ways. And what we think are the big ways sometimes are the small ways. So let's look at some elements. As Joshua prepared for God's move, as Joshua was preparing not only for him but for the people of God to cross the Jordan River, what are some of those elements? First, a little bit of context. We've got Joshua took over from Moses to bring the people into the promised land. There's going to be all kinds of trials. There's going to be all kinds of tribulations. The people were in slavery in Egypt and then 40 years in the desert before God allowed them to, Joshua's generation, not Moses' generation, to cross over and move toward all the things of God. Joshua was the one that God appointed to fulfill the promise that he gave to Abraham and Moses and to bring that promise into reality. And so where Deuteronomy ends, the book of Joshua then begins. What you have is the tribes of Israel are camped on the east side of the Jordan River, and they got to move west. But the problem, there's water. Okay, so they've got to move west towards the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, you have some awesome, at least three times in Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous because there's some go for it missions that I have for you, and you're going to have to find strength in me, encouraging me to accomplish all that I have for you. And then in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua sends out two spies to check out the land, and the report back is, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us and because of the move of God." So God has paved the way. We just need to go realize what God has before us. The first element as we prepare for the move of God in your life or in the life of a church is, number one, God's calling. God has a calling. We need to recognize that God calls. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, this should be on the screen for you. Moses, my servant, is dead, God says to Joshua. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Okay, so there's a calling, a personal calling for Joshua to answer. All right? And he says, get ready. Here's what you're going to do. Just like God has a specific calling for Joshua thousands of years ago, thousands of years later, all the way to East Orlando to us today, January 13, 2019, he has specific callings that he doesn't need you to do. He wants you to do. He wants you to be a part of his plan. He desires you to jump into his calling. So to do that, though, we got to refresh, remember, so we're brought current with the things of God and then are propelled and launched forward in all that he has for us to do for him. Not that he needs it, he desires. And what a privilege and what an honor it is to be a part of his plan. When's the last time that you've analyzed your identity in Christ? Have you studied your identity? Have you analyzed who we are in Christ? This is not something to gloss over. It's not something to read and forget. It is something to study and grow in for the rest of our lives, that who we are in Christ. Questions like, God, what do you want me to accomplish this year? God, at work, what do you want me to accomplish? At church, what do you want me to accomplish? At home, what do you want me to accomplish? And so our eyes start vertically first. God, as we approach this new year, what do you want to do with me and through me? I want to be both hands lifted high. I want to be wholeheartedly available for whatever you have for me. I want to be at the foot of the cross and say, God, what do you have for me this year? Are you asking questions like, God, help me to apply the talents and the gifts that you've given me so I can accomplish the goals that you're giving me? Have you analyzed how God has wired you and how he's gifted you so that you can accomplish certain things for the cause of Christ? Have you analyzed where you're at church and at work and the platforms that you have? Are you able to maximize what God wants you to do through those areas? Sometimes when we ask ourselves some of these hard questions, we go, you know what, I'm just sort of going through routine. In 2019, if you set go for it goals, it's not routine. It'll shake things up because God wants to put you in a place where you can be maximized for his glory. And so these big life impacting questions will help you stay on a godly path. It'll challenge where you are and move you away from routine. It'll help you live a life that is maximized for His glory, not just something average that the world dictates to you. We need to dictate to the world God's calling and God's, and we need to be intentional with that. If we're not intentional, then if we're not careful, the secular ideology, secular theology, the ways of the world will begin to dictate how we live our lives. We'll begin to follow the ways of the world. God says, no. I'm the Lord. I'm the creator. I'm the authority. I dictate what happens. So my ambassadors for Christ, you set the spiritual temperature of the culture. You don't follow their lead. You set it. And you do it with love and grace and servant leadership like my son Jesus demonstrated. So before God moves, we're getting ready for spiritual movement, God calls. So we've got to spend time on how He's calling us and what He's calling us to do this year. But after that, number two, the second element is personal preparation. You better get ready. God told Joshua to get ready. To answer God's call, you have to have a time of personal preparation. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Are we in a position to be a part of and to possibly handle the amazing of what God wants to accomplish? Are we even close to that? Are our eyes and our hearts on the wow moment that God desires to happen? The miracle is on the horizon for Joshua and his people. Are they ready? Are they personally prepared and spiritually ready? Have they consecrated themselves to have their hearts and minds ready for the move of God? We need to go through a time of cleansing and a time of purification and a time of dedication if we're going to be serious about answering God's call. So personal preparation needs to take place before a move of God. You have a calling from God, personal preparation to get ready to answer that call, and then thirdly, validation of God's leader, that God will validate a leader in a movement. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, "And the Lord said to Joshua," the leader of this movement, He says, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." The key here is that Joshua did not validate himself. Joshua did not elevate himself. God did the elevating. God did the validating. Now, could that be true today? Today, we are so tempted to validate ourselves, to lift ourselves up, and tell the world through social media, look how awesome we are. When we look at the movement of God, God is in control. God gets the glory. God validates. God elevates. We don't need to. That's part of what God does. And Joshua had a resume where he could have bragged all kinds in today's world on social media in an unbelievable way. Some of his resume is that he was known for his deep trust in God, according to Numbers chapter 27. In other words, he was described as a man in who is the Spirit. Now, that's a compliment. As a student age or as a youth, he lived right through those bitter realities in Egypt. He also witnessed the supernatural plagues and the miracle of Israel's exodus from the army and escape from the army of the Egyptians and exodus from being enslaved. He walked right through the Red Sea. Can you imagine as a teenager, as a young person walking through all these movements of God? Guess what? God was using that as a young person to get him ready for what God was going to do through Joshua as an older person. So when you think about your life as a young person, I bet you God was preparing you to do what we're doing as old people now. And everything has a purpose, and everything makes sense to God. He's putting the puzzle pieces together, and it's a beautiful picture by the end. But when we're moving forward in it, we don't see the beautiful picture. Sometimes you can see it when you look back. But when you're moving forward in it, we have to trust that God is putting all the puzzle pieces together. And you may go with, I said, some of my lowest points in my life, middle school and high school. He was using that to shape me for what I'm going to face and do for His cause today. He alone was allowed to accompany Moses up on the holy mountain where the tablets of the law were received. Joshua was elected to represent his own tribe of Ephraim when the 12 spies were sent into Canaan to look over the land. Only Joshua and Caleb, representing the tribe of Judah, were ready to follow God's will and take immediate possession of the land in Numbers 14. God promised to guide and strengthen Joshua just as he had Moses. Joshua was God's chosen servant to bring Moses' work, like we've talked about, to completion and establish Israel in the promised land. And so, y'all also talk about, look at this. Joshua, when you study him and when you study God's move through him and all of that, do you see him also symbolizing Jesus Christ? Do you see what theologians call him, that he's an Old Testament type? In other words, he symbolizes the one to come in the future. He symbolizes salvation as Jesus leads us into heaven. Joshua could have easily received the glory. That was just some of his resume. He could have easily received the glory for all that he accomplished, but he knew he didn't need to, that God was the one to validate, that God was the one to lift him up, not himself. And we need to apply that to our life today. We just need to keep working hard to bring him the glory. God will take care of everything else. We need to stay faithful. That's our part. And trust him with the results. That's his part. Too many times we cross over to try to control the results of God. We just need to be faithful. That's it. At the end of it all, Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It didn't say, "Well done, my servant who did this, 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 and this." "Well done, my servant who was faithful to what I called him or her to do and trusted me with the results." Number four, the fourth element involved in spiritual movement is equipping of those involved in the movement. So those that are in the movement, they'll be equipped. Joshua 3:9, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." God, through Joshua, then equipped the people of God to get them ready for the spiritual movement that was about to happen. There's a time of equipping. I think about the blanket initiative and the coat initiative. That kind of follows right through these elements as well, doesn't it? When you look at the move of God, whether it be blankets or crossing the Jordan River, you see a lot of the similar elements as God gets us ready for spiritual movement. We need to be equipped and prepared to accomplish God's call on our lives. And to some, this means I need to study the Word of God more. For some, it says I need to start studying the Word of God more. To some, it may be I'm going to start memorizing. I'm going to start meditating. As the Bible says, to meditate day and night on God's Word. The Bible says to hide God's Word in your heart so you will not sin against me. Maybe I need to take that next step to do more studying and reading and memorizing, to be more spiritually disciplined. Maybe it's you need to gain some more experience to prepare yourself to get ready for God's movement. I'm thinking personally for me in this Go For It year that I want to have more reverent respect for the things of God and God's Word than I ever have in my life. And I thought back to some moments in my life where I couldn't get enough of this. I couldn't get enough. And I thought about other moments in my life where this was kind of on the back seat, or it was sort of something just to read real quick to feel better about myself and keep going. But at certain parts of my life, when I couldn't get enough of God's Word, I thirsted and I hungered for Him and the things of Him. And I think about the difference between the two approaches, and I go, whoa, in one sense, I was 100% seeking God, and God did reveal Himself in special ways, and He moved in special ways. And the other time in my life where this was kind of on the back burner, and I was sort of in charge, and I was sort of in the lead, there was a difference where I didn't recognize God's move. He still moved probably, but I don't know maybe if I was a part of it like I could have been. Excuse me, maybe I missed it. And so I want to, like we talked about this past sermon series, that I want to unwrap the gift of God's Word, and I want to use it, I want to apply it, I want to respect it, I want to share it like I would any gift that was given to me this past Christmas season. In just a moment, we're going to hear from our testimony, a testimony from one of our own that about the power of God's Word and the testimony there. We're getting there. Number five, follow through of the mission. There's got to be follow through. The fifth element in the spiritual move of God is follow through of the mission. In other words, you got to do it. You've prayed, you're equipped, you've been called, you've sought out experience, but at some point you got to go. At some point, you got to take that faith step, and you've got to jump in. Follow through of the mission. And in Joshua chapter 3, 14 through 17, you see that the leaders, priests, the tribal leaders, were the first ones to go through. And then they didn't go all the way through, because it could be a little scary, because you think the flow may come back to the Jordan River. And if we're still in it as leaders, then we're going to go down with everybody else. What they did was they stopped in the middle. They made sure everybody crossed, and then they crossed. We talked about last hour. That's an unbelievable example of servant leadership. That when you're a leader and you have influence over others, whether it be parents of a family or in your work organization or in church, you make sure you're the servant leader. You serve them first. You lead by serving. You are the one to sacrifice first. You're the one to take the faith step first. You're the first one to get in that Jordan River. And then you stay there. You stay there until everybody has experienced the provision of God, and you be the final one to cross through to make sure everything's okay. That is an unbelievable example of servant leadership. And then what I love is at the end, in our sixth element, the wow moment, the miracle, the moment occurs which demands a response. When you look at Joshua chapter 4, the first seven verses, also Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, you see that when they finished, Joshua received instruction. In verse 2 of chapter 4, God says, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stayed tonight. He goes on to say that when the next generation asks what those stones are for, you tell generations forever that I'm a faithful God. That I'm a God that will provide, and I'm a God that will be there. I'm faithful to my promises. And so what you have is when they crossed through the miracle, they responded to the call of God still to go back and remember, to go back and reflect, to go back and be refreshed, to grab that stone as a memorial and a remembrance of how God moved. And I started thinking in my life, and you think in yours, where are the stones and what are the stones in your life that no one can take away from you? Those are the move of God. They represent the time where God showed up in undeniable ways, and you take those with you. And those are much more than a rabbit's foot. We talked about last hour. We used to carry out rabbit's foot for good luck. We said, well, man, I believe in God's blessings, not good luck. This is not like I'm carrying around those stones in my pocket like I did a rabbit foot when I was little so I can experience good luck. I am carrying around those stones and those remembrances of the move of God in my heart that no one can take away from me, and so it can set me up and propel me into God's future, remembering so that I can launch towards the things of God. So here's the questions for us. In your notes, and as we spend the next couple of weeks with this type of vibe, are you prepared for God's next move? Sometimes we ask God, will you move in our life? Are we even close to ready? Sometimes we even pray, God, would you move? I want to be part of your movement. Are we set up and close to ready? Because God wants to move. He desires to move. The miracle and the movement could be right around the corner, but are you ready for it? So are you ready for it in your life? Are you prepared in the life of UBC and what God wants us to do in 2019, and also in our community in East Orlando, and as Ada said, to the world now? What is our role? What is our part? Are we ready? Henry, could you come up here? I want Henry to share in the last couple of minutes, and I believe this is going to be a spiritual exclamation point when we talk about how, you know, the move of God in Henry's life. Henry, let's see. You want to join me up here? You can put your notes up here. Church, are we ready for Henry? Hold on, let me make sure they're awake. Church, because I may have just put them to sleep. Okay, this is on and this is ready.
All right, on and ready.
Church, you're going to want to hear this, because sometimes people come to church and think, well, God moved in the Bible times, but he hadn't moved in my life. Or this is just preacher talk. This is not real talk. The truth doesn't necessarily transfer to my place of work or to my life. I wanted to bring you a real person, and there's going to be more people in line. Henry, he's real, okay? I'm touching him. I'm pinching him. He's real, and he's going to bring you a real testimony of God's real move in his life, and I promise you, you're going to be inspired. Henry, Excellent. Take it away. Talk to us, and then we'll close down the service.
Hey, thank you, Nathan. Hello? Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm going to be reading from my notes here. My name is Henry, and as Pastor Nathan mentioned, I'm here today to share my testimony. I would like to open up my testimony with gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ for blessing me with today. My life up until the day I was saved was filled with uncertainty. I sought after pleasures of the world, hoping to find satisfaction. What I did find was an empty sense of being. Around 35 years ago, I was part of a youth group at my local church located in New York. I was a teenager then, and as with many teenagers, I thought I knew everything about everything. Church for the youth group was more of a socializing place for us teenagers. Yes, God's word was preached, but unfortunately, our attention spans were short. At the time, I was almost done with high school and had plans to join the Air Force. Before my departure to the Air Force, I was given a basic Good News Bible by the church to accompany me on my new journey. Our youth group counselor, Miss Elizabeth, presented and dedicated the Bible to me. On the dedication page, she wrote a few words of encouragement and referenced key Bible verses that would enlighten me in hopes to keep me on the righteous path. This Bible has been with me throughout all my journeys. I've encountered life's good, bad, happy, and sad moments. Even though I've always been told life's answers could be found in the Bible, I never referred to it. Unwilling to receive spiritual guidance, it has always been present in my life. My mother, may she rest in peace, highlighted verses in the Bible before I left to the military. Friends who I've come to love as family prayed over me and in so many words ministered to me in times of need. My wife, Melissa, who also was finding her way back to our Lord, never gave up and kept silent prayer that one day I may be touched by Jesus and receive his word. Although the answers may have been clear, I saw other forms of spiritual beliefs. For a brief moment, I even considered the agnostic theology. In my life's stressful moments, I would find myself returning to the word, picking up my Bible and praying. I wanted to read my Bible, but did not know where to begin. I often asked the question, where does one begin to read the Bible? And I received many inconclusive answers. I felt I was a lost soul, empty, but was reluctant to admit it. And throughout the years to follow, I did what I thought was best for me and my family. I lived in the ways of the world for the most part, and often couldn't make heads or tails as to why my plans were rarely successful. Although I will mention that for some reason, I was always protected from life's adversities. I did suffer for the reckless things I did in life, and I would often say to myself for some odd reason, Henry, you're still alive. It was during these times I would ask God for clarity and guidance in my life. During the summer of 2016, I hit my final wall. It was the worst moment in my life I've ever experienced and sent me into the dark. The answers to life cannot be found in this world, but the Lord yet again provided a provision for me. While on Facebook with an old friend from our old youth group, I noticed his friend's profile, someone who looked similar to Miss Elizabeth from our youth group counselor. I asked him if this was indeed Miss Elizabeth from our church, and he replied, yes, it is. For some reason, at that moment, I became very excited to discover that she was still alive after all these years. I said to myself, maybe Miss Elizabeth can provide some guidance to address my spiritual deficit. 33 years have passed since the last time I spoke with Miss Elizabeth. I asked my friend if he would contact her to ask her if she still remembered me, and if possible, would she mind contacting me? My friend assured me that he would relay the message. A few months later, around October, I received an unfamiliar call with a New York area code. Out of curiosity, I answered it, and to my surprise, it was Miss Elizabeth. And of course, the it's been such a long time conversation ensued. During our conversation, she mentioned that she was still in the ministry. I couldn't describe it at that moment. I felt like this was the beginning to the guidance I was looking for. Further to my surprise, Miss Elizabeth mentioned that she would be in the Orlando area in the coming week and wanted to know if we would be able to possibly meet up. I said, absolutely yes. I then thought it would be a wonderful idea to bring my Bible to our get-together. The re-encounter with Miss Elizabeth was amazing. We hugged and it was like old times. During the visit, she began speaking in regards to the ministry, and at that moment, I mentioned to her that I have something I would like to show her. I removed my Good News Bible from my backpack, and at first glance, she didn't recognize it, but after I opened it up to the dedication page, she started reading, and tears started flowing as she then realized it was her words and handwriting. I began to tell her that this Bible has been with me throughout all of my years, and as she noticed, it was in like new condition. I told her that I've been struggling spiritually and that I desired to read my Bible, but I just didn't know where to begin reading. She smiled and said, I know of someone who can be of help in answering your question. She gave me the number to her cousin Ed, who has been in the ministry for over 2 decades. She said Ed can definitely assist you with some spiritual guidance. In November, I contacted Ed, a very pleasant gentleman to speak with. I brought up my question, where does one begin reading the Bible? Without hesitation and with confidence, he said, to begin reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, you need to get acquainted with the Lord and with our Lord and Savior. You need to know who is Jesus Christ. He said, once I've read those Gospels, he would be glad to assist me further. At that moment, something stirred within me, as this was the first time someone has given me a precise and direct answer regarding where to begin reading the Bible. I was so motivated that I immediately began reading Matthew that evening. Ed called me about 2 weeks later to see how I was progressing with my reading. I told him I was already reading Mark and moving on to Luke soon after. He prayed for me and said I was progressing well. Ed called me again, and I told him I was moving on to the book of John. He asked me for my address as he wanted to send me some literature he thought would supplement my Bible reading. About 2 weeks later, I received a package in the mail from Ed in the mail. I opened it up, and to my amazement, it was a study Bible with my name inscribed on the cover. This was a true spiritual moment for me. I began to realize God's plan for me. The word of God was delivered literally into my hands. I immediately called Ed, and as best I could, for I had a loss for words, I thanked him for the gift of God's word. He said he brought it for me because he saw I was hungry for the word of God. I began reading the Gospels again, but this time from my new Bible. I asked Ed, where should I go to next after the Gospels, and he directed me to the book of Acts. On January 21st, 2017, as I was reading the book of Acts, something shook within me. I ran over to my wife, Melissa, and told her that I wanted to get baptized, for the word of God commands this. My wife contacted the Cross Life Church where she had attended and arranged for a baptism interview. All went well, and Cross Life decided to video the baptism event. I contacted Miss Elizabeth and Ed and told them how grateful I was to have them in my life. I told them about my pending baptism, and they were filled with joy. What I've come to find is that you can have a Bible laid dormant and cease to grow in the word of the Lord, or you can open your Bible and receive the gift of eternal life. On February 5th, 2017, I surrendered my heart to God, and I was saved by his grace through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then by baptism, I expressed to the world that I am a child of God. I was reborn in the spirit, a new creation in Christ. God has a plan for me, and it's been a long journey, but God is never too early and never too late. God's timing is always perfect. And like the song earlier said, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, I thank you for Henry. I thank you for his story. God, I thank you for those involved, Elizabeth and Ed, to think through 33 years of a gospel seed planted of your word, 33 years later to see that begin to grow and take root and blossom. And God, it's another real story of your workings and the faithfulness of your people and them doing their part and you doing your part. And as a result, we see the miracle of salvation and the spiritual growth and all this, God. God, we thank you for Henry, God. We know that because of this and his relationship with you, as he shared, God, that there's been life change. There's complete perspective change. And God, you've brought us together now to begin to possibly serve together as a church. I know personally, I've known this family, not Henry, but his wife, for over 10 years. She's impacted my daughter. God used her to have a breakthrough in one of my daughters many years ago. God, it's just unbelievable to see your orchestration and you connecting dots in ways that we can't possibly. To you be the glory. So God, as we remember these things, God, how can we not be launched forward into the things of you this year? Jesus, help us to reflect on, to record, and to commit to God-sized, go-for-it goals over the coming weeks. Help us to spend time to reflect and remember your move through the good and also even especially through the bad. And may we be propelled to the things of you this year. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen.